Okay, we're on Vav Amid Beis, 6b3. Hechidami Gmar Din, it's 3 lines from the end of the page. Vav Amid Beis. Okay, the Gemara says, Hechidami Gmar Din. Okay, we said before that once there's Gmar Din, that the judge can't go to compromise. Right, that's what the Mishnah said, the Braisa said before. So the Gemara says, "Heichidami gmar din." What is considered reaching a verdict? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, ish plein ato chayv, ish plein ato zakai. When the judge says, "You Reuven are guilty, you Shimon are innocent," when he actually proclaims it, Amar Rav Rav said, "Halacha k'Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha." The halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Before we learned the machlikas in the Gemara, is it good to make a compromise or is it bad to make a compromise? Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha said it's good. Another opinion said in the Gemara it's not good to make a compromise. So if you Rav says the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, that it's good for a judge to say maybe you make a compromise before Gemar Din, though obviously. So the Gemara says any, but it's not true. But Rav Huna told me that Rav Huna was a student of Rav. When litigants came before Rav Huna, he said to him, "Idin beisu, ibishara beisu. Do you want din? I'll give you din. If you want pshara, I'll give you pshara." So what do you see from there? Why did, according to Rav, the litigant shouldn't be the one to decide? The judge should encourage to do a compromise. Right? The Gemara thought now, the judge is completely not involved. He says, listen, you want din or you want compromise? Shut up. Right? So Gemara says, if Rav holds the halacha is that it's good, better to make a pshara, then the dayan should encourage, not asking you want din or pshara, as if they're equal. He should try to make it in a way that they should do pshara.
Rabbi, is it for the judge to decide whether to make it this way or the other way?
No, the Gemara says, in Tog Gemara din, you could do that. But, no, Bechlau, when they come at the beginning of the din teira, the judge should say, listen, do you want compromise, do you want din?
But it's for the judge to decide what he has to do.
No, he wants to hear what the litigants want, because if the litigants want it, then everybody's happy.
But they already chose this judge to be...
Yeah, so now the judge could be to arbitrate, to compromise, or to give a din. That's the argument in the Gemara before. Is it better to do din? Is it better to do pshara? But Rav says it's better to do pshara. So then why does Rav Huna not ask him? So the Gemara says, my mitzvah nami to come to Bishu, because Rav Shua's expression was, it's a mitzvah to do pshara. So the question, if it's a mitzvah to do pshara, why is he making it equal? So the Gemara says, my mitzvah to come to Bishu ben Karcha. What does Rav Shua ben Karcha mean when he says a mitzvah? It doesn't mean it's a mitzvah to compromise. He means mitzvah lemeimer luhu. It's a mitzvah to tell the people, idina beisa pshara beisa. Do you want pshara? Do you want din? So the Gemara is saying Rabbi Shuv and Gorcha doesn't say it's a mitzvah to do pshara, which a simple understanding of it was. It's a mitzvah for the judge to tell the people which one of the two do you want. So the Gemara says if that's the case, hainu tanikama, because that's what the tanikama said. The tanikama Rabbi Shuv and Gorcha before said in the Gemara. That it could do either one of the two. Okay? So the Gemara answers, Ika benayu mitzvah. The question is it a mitzvah? Meaning, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Savar mitzvah. Meaning like this. The argument between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha is it a mitzvah for a judge to offer the two? So Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says, it's a mitzvah to offer the two. The Tanakhama says it's not a mitzvah. In other words, it's equal. You can do either one.
So saying a mitzvah is also either one.
Huh?
You are not emphasizing either one. It's a mitzvah to do pshara or a din.
No, according to Rabbi Shuv and Karcha, it's a mitzvah to offer compromise. According to Tanakhama, there's no mitzvah to offer compromise. They're both equal.
Oh.
Whether you offer it or not. So then the Gemara says, if that's the case, then it's Reb Shim ben Nasya. Reb Shim ben Nasya also said that offering a compromise is only elective. So then what's the difference between Reb Shim ben Nasya and the Tanakhama? So Gemara says, Ika b'nayu mishatishma devrem. The difference is like this. Once the judge hears the litigant's statements, okay, and the judge already has a feeling where it's going, then after the shoy leimer, and then you cannot tell him su ubu ubitzu to go compromise. Meaning like this: the Pshim Menasya holds the judge can only offer compromise before he knows where it's going. The Tanakama holds, even if you know where it's going, as long as you didn't do Gemar Din, as long as you didn't say you're Chai of your Potter, you can offer compromise. Yeah? Reb Shim Menasya holds, you can only do it if he knows, until he knows where the judgment's going. In other words, Gemara is saying it, there's a few differences. Before you hear the case, okay, most people say it's a mitzvah to offer compromise, or it's elective to offer compromise. Then the argument between Reb Shim Menasya and the Chachamim, the Tanakama, is once you know where the din is going, can you still offer a compromise or not? Reb Shim Menasya says no, Tanakama says yes. Everybody holds, after Gemar Din, you can't offer a compromise. Everybody holds. The question is, can you offer a compromise once you know where the din is going? Reb Shim Menasya says no, Tanakama says yes. Reb Shua ben Karcha holds, it's a mitzvah to offer compromise, and the Chachamim hold, it's not a mitzvah to offer compromise. You can do it, it's elective, you're allowed to, but it's not a mitzvah to do it. That's what we're up to now. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Zayin Amid Aleph. Yeah. Okay, we're on Zayin Amid Aleph. 2, 4, 6, 7 lines in the top of the page. Okay, before the Gemara quoted, Ubeitzea Beirach Nietz Hashem, the Gemara quoted one opinion to mean that it's a mitzvah. No, he said that one who praises a compromiser is actually insulting Hashem. The Gemara brought that before, that it's not good to compromise. Okay? So the Gemara brings down other opinions. That person argues on Rab Tanchum Rab Chaniloi. This pasuk, Obeitzea Beirach Nietz Hashem, the one who praises a compromiser is insulting Hashem, is only said about the Maisa Eagle, about the eagle, when they made the golden calf. Shenamar says, Vayad Aaron saw what happened, Vayivim is Beirach Lefanav, he built an altar to the golden calf. The Gemara is going to say now what happened over there by the eagle. But the Pasuk says, Aaron saw, we don't know what he saw yet, he saw, and he made a Mizbeach. And he said, tomorrow we're going to celebrate, hoping that Moshe Rabbeinu would be back by that time. So the Gemara says, Maro, what did he see? The Pasuk says, Aaron saw, and he built a Mizbeach, for the eagle. So what did he see? Amra binyam bayafes amra balazar, ro chur shazavuch lefanav. He saw chur slaughtered before him. The people killed Chur. Chur was Miriam's son. Yeah? Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron's nephew. So when the Jews were making the eagle, so Chur protested. So they killed him. This is, Rashi calls this, by the way, in Chumash.
How old was
he? Huh?
How old was Chur? How old? He had Bezalel, no? Bezalel was his son.
Ben Uri ben Chur. Bezalel was his grandson.
Oh.
The
Erev Rav killed him?
The Erev Rav killed him. That was his grandson.
Miriam had a son, Chur, who had a son, Uri, and had a son, Bezalel. Bezalel was 12 years old when he did, or 10 years old when he did the whole Mishkan. The architect and the contractor of the Mishkan was a little kid, 10 years old, or 12 years old. But Chur, how old was Chur? It doesn't say. I mean, I don't know. It was Miriam's son. Okay, so he says, Amar Aaron HaKohen said, Eloi Shemin Elohashto, if I did not listen to them now, Obdali kechur, they're going to do to me what they did to chur. Umakayim be, and they're going to fulfill the pasuk that says, Im yarig b'migdash Hashem kain v'navi. Should a priest and a prophet be slain in the Mishkan of Hashem? Okay? He said like this. Yirmiyah Navi, okay, Zechariah was a Kohen and a Navi. Okay? And he knew that if a Kohen and a Navi, which was the same person that Keshchai was a Kohen and a Navi, if they kill him, it's going to be very, very bad. He said, they killed Chur. Yeah? Aaron was a Navi, and he was a Kohen. He said, if they killed Chur, they're going to kill me too. And there's going to be a desecration for Hashem. And he said, because of Zechariah was killed, Rashi says, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So Aaron said, that's what he saw. He saw that Chur was killed. And then he said to himself, if they kill me, then it's going to be the destruction of the Jewish people. Like later on in Chumash, I mean, Tanakh, we find this story with Zechariah.
What about the idea that to make an
Avodah Zarah? One second. And the Jews will never be able to do tshuva. Okay? Now, Mut of the Lavid Egel, it's better for them just to do the Egel, because Efshavalei Takante b'tshuva, because maybe they'll be able to do tshuva. In other words, Aaron HaKohen understood like this. If they kill a Kohen and Navi, meaning they kill Aaron, there's no room for tshuva. They killed Tzchaya, so therefore the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and there was no room for tshuva. So he said, it's better for them to make an Egel. At least they'll have the ability to do tshuva, and it would be, it's the lesser of the evils. So that's what it said. Vayad Aaron, Aaron saw that Chur was killed. That's what he saw. And therefore he said, you know what, let me make a mizbech, let him work a ship and egg, at least he'll be able to do tshuva.
But Hashem nevertheless was angry with him, wanted to kill him.
Huh?
And it wasn't because of Moshe Rabbeinu, or he was a god from Hashem.
Yeah.
So did he do the right thing, or what?
He was blamed for it.
So to compromise later on is blaming?
There is passive sinning and active sinning. Not doing anything in the sin was passive sinning. Building a mizbeach was active sinning. So it was worse in that respect. But Aaron was finding merit for the Jews. He said, forget me. But for the Jews it would be beneficial to make an angle, because then they could do tshuva. Like they did. They did tshuva. Okay. No, they bring down Zechariah was killed way before the Beis HaMikdash.
200 years before?
The decree was happening at that time. No, not the...
His blood was boiling for how long?
How long? Doesn't say. It doesn't say how many years.
And then that guy...
That would never be forgiven. The Gemara says that Zechariah's blood was, it says at the bottom, Zechariah's blood was bubbling in the ground until the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Then it stopped bubbling.
That guy killed like almost a million people.
So he killed a lot of people. He says he slaughtered 940,000 Jews. Okay, now before we said, Shimon Manasseh said the Peter Kamayim, that he says if the judge knows where the case is heading, he's not allowed to compromise. That's what he said before. Okay. So he says, "Vahani tanoi, those tanoi will argue on the Pshim ben Nasya, pray to my mreishis, bado my darishbe. What do they learn from the pasuk that releasing water is the beginning of strife?" Okay? So he says that because it's nothing to do with this dentata. What does it have to do with Kedrav Amnuna? Dame Rav Amnuna said, "Ein tchilas dina shel adam." When a person comes upstairs in the world to come, the big first thing they judge upon, how much Torah you learned. And that's what it says. Pray to Mayim Reishis Modun. What does it mean? Ein Adam, Ein Tchilas Dina Shel Adam, Nidan Elal Divrei Torah. It's only for Divrei Torah. Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, pray to Mayim Reishis Modun. Mayim is likened to Torah. Torah is likened to water. Pray to Mayim Reishis Modun. The beginning of judgment is on Mayim, on water. So now, look, we know that when you come upstairs, they ask you, did you learn Torah? you know, what you did.
This is Porter.
Huh?
Porter.
Releasing water, meaning about how much Torah you released.
What do you mean, you shared with people?
Learned, taught, yeah. Okay, so he says like this. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says another explanation of this. What does it mean? High Tigra fighting is is like a gush of flowing water. You know, when water flows, it starts off a little bit. And then the water moves away, the dirt, it becomes bigger. So he says, that's what the Pasuk means. When you have a fight, it becomes an overflowing river. Meaning, even the Ravach Ravach, once the channel widens, it widens. Meaning, once you have a fight, the fight keeps getting worse. It doesn't get better. Okay. Avishik Shisha Amar, Avishik Shisha said, Dami Luguda de Gamla. A fight is like a plank in a new bridge. What does it mean? Kivin de Kum Kum. Once you step on it, it remains firmly attached. In the old days, they made bridges. Yes, they used to make planks of wood. But they were loose. When people stepped on it, it solidified the bridge and made it tight. So he said the same thing with a fight. Like this, that's loose. Once you step on it, means once you fight, it becomes a permanent fight. That's what the Pasuk is talking about.
So what happened to the whole Peshara business?
Huh? No, the Gemara says, Rav Shimon ben Asi learned from this Pasuk that you're supposed to compromise. And the Gemara says, what do other people who don't agree with him, what do they learn from this Pasuk? There's different things they learn from the Pasuk. I was just discussing the psukim, what they learned from.
So just going back to Aaron's story.
Yeah.
So the Tana was saying that's the only situation where compromise should never happen.
No, it's nothing to do with compromise. The Gemara says that pasuk. Some people you say a beirach niyetz Hashem. Some people use it for the not to compromise, and some people that hold you could compromise. What did they learn from that pasuk? So he learned about the ego. It's nothing to do with this. That's what the Gemara is just using the pasuk for different things. So, okay, then the Gemara says like this. There's a certain man, whenever he walked, he used to say, Tuvah d'shmar v'adish. Fortunate is one who hears him being degraded, v'adish, and he doesn't answer. Doesn't answer it. Chalfu bishtameya. Through his silence, 100 misfortunes that could have happened to him won't. Now the Gemara is saying, what is this used to, the guy used to walk around, obviously he was a great person, not the Gemara wouldn't have quoted him. There's a guy that said, well, used to walk around and he had an expression. What was his expression? A guy that hears the way people make fun of you. And you keep quiet, 100 bad things that are supposed to happen to you will not happen. That's what this guy used to say.
So what happened to defending yourself? That, you know, it's not true what you are saying?
Shamim cherpasim ve'inim meshivim.
What did you say?
The Pasuk says, you hear your embarrassment and you keep quiet.
So we've talked about a lot.
Aluvim ve'inim elvim. He's not talking about when it's public and people will accuse you of doing something wrong. See, even in private.
Oh, in private.
Yes. Yeah. Because if something bad can come up, then you have to answer. So he says, Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda. So Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, what's the guy's source? He says, Pray to Mayim Reishis Modun. Releasing the water is the beginning of the strife, meaning Reish Meyadina. He learns the passage to mean it's the discord is the beginning of 100 misfortunes that they don't happen to you. Okay? Because Modun, Rashi says, equals 100. Okay? So he says, when you have 100, when you're degraded and you don't answer back, 100 modun, it leaves you. Then the Gemara says, Ahu Gavra, there was this guy, the Kamer Vazel, used to walk in the street and say the following, Atarti tlos gamvali miktol. For two or three thefts, a thief is not killed. But for more than three, he is killed. What does this mean? What he used to say is, in fact, Gemara is going to quote a pasuk. For the first three sins, Hashem forgives you because it's not a chazaka, it's not established yet that you're a sinner.
So for the first three sins, for the first three, because the third one makes the chazaka. So for the first three sins, Hashem forgives you. After that, you're not forgiven anymore. So that's what this guy used to say. He said, for two or three times, the ganef is not killed. Afterwards, the ganef is killed. So, Amar Shmuel Rav Yehuda, what's the pasuk? Kroksiv, that's what it says in the pasuk. Koy Amar Hashem. So Hashem says, Al Shleisha Pisha Yisrael, for three sins of the Jews, I will forgive. Al Arba Lo Yashivenu, but for the fourth one, I will not turn away from punishing him. So you see, with this guy's statement that he said for the first three sins Hashem will forgive, and afterwards not, Shmuel quoted the pasuk. Ahud Avakamer Ba'azil, there's another guy used to walk along and saying like this, Shev Bida L'Shamana, even if seven pits are dug, in a man of peace, he'll be saved. I'll explain in a second. V'chada La'avid Bish, and if one pit is dug, a sinner is going to fall into it. Meaning like this, when you have seven pits in the street, it's pretty dangerous because the chances of falling into the pit are pretty big. Right? So he says, if you're a good person, even if there's seven pits in the street, Hashem will not make you fall into any of them. But if you're an evildoer, even one pit, Hashem will make you fall into. Now the odds are much greater. Amalei Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, so Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Kroksiv, that's what it says in the Pasuk. Ki sheva yipol tzadik v'kam, seven times a righteous man will fall and get up. Rasha, the Pasuk continues, Yipo Ba'achas will fall the first time. So the Pasuk says, a tzaddik will fall down seven times and get up. A Rasha will fall down once and not get up. So this is what he said, but this is what the Gemara said before, that this guy used to say, a tzaddik will have seven pits. He won't fall into any of them. I mean, he'll get up. And the Rasha even will fall into one.
But the Pasuk doesn't say that. The Pasuk says he falls and Hashem helps him get up.
That's what he's interpreting the Pasuk to mean. It's paraphrasing.
So even though the possibility.
Well, none of these psukim are exactly what the guy is saying. But he's learning. This is the way you dash in the pasuk. This guy used to walk along and said the following. The Azum Ebedina, one who leaves court, Shalko Glima, and they took his coat away from him, meaning he lost big time. Okay? Lizme Zemer, you should sing a song, but lays the borch and keep walking. In simple, it means that if you go to court and you lose, you should be happy. So walk around singing. Amalei de Shmuel Rav Yehuda, so Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, why? So the explanation is, because obviously he didn't deserve to have those properties. If Bezdin makes you lose money, that basically means, obviously, that Hashem doesn't want you to have the money. So the money is not yours.
Well, you should be happy about it.
1 minute. Amalei Shmuel, because it says in the Pasuk, V'gam kola amazeh, all this nation, amakeimei yavi b'sholim. That Pasuk refers, when Yisrael advised Moshe Rabbeinu to set up courts, so it says, When the people left Moshe Rabbeinu's court, the Pasuk says, they'll all come peacefully. Meaning even the ones that lost were happy.
At least they were heard.
See, this is a different way. This is not for a firm believer who realizes that a Bezdin, Hashem doesn't allow a Bezdin, they're competent Bezdin, that a Bezdin doesn't make mistakes. And therefore, Bezdin ruled that you lost. So the person realizes, obviously, this is not my money. So the money was gotten to me illegally. And if I lose, that's what Hashem wants. It's better for me.
In the case of the fight, going back like a little bit, few lines, he says if you perpetuate the fight, then it will continue. But if you decide not to fight anymore, why should it continue forever?
No, he says when you if you don't stop the fight, no, you need to actively stop it, not ignore it. That's what he said. If you ignore a fight, it's going to get worse.
If you stop fighting,
it's an active aspect of not fighting. It's actively not fighting. Okay, then it says, Ahuva, the Karmer, also there's a guy who used to say like this. Hi, name of it, the Kula Shuffle. When a woman sleeps, okay, the basket perched on her head lowers.
Yeah,
he says, when a person is lazy, the quality of handiwork suffers. I mean, when a woman sleeps, that's what the pasuk literally, I mean, the expression is feminine. But it means basically, when you get lazy, then your handiwork doesn't go so well. That's what the pasuk says. Through laziness, the ceiling sags. In other words, if you're not a good worker, if you're lazy, the ceiling, your work doesn't. This everybody understands. That if you don't, if you're lazy, your work suffers. Okay? This guy, you have the following expression. A man who I trusted, raised his fist and stood up against me. Okay? So he says, Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Kroksiv, that's what it says, Gam ish shleim yasher batachti, that even my ally whom I trusted, he raised his heels against me. It's the Pasuk in Tehillim that he went against me. In other words, that he said, even somebody you trust will eventually turn against you. Then he says like this.
Not such positive Gemara.
Huh?
That's a positive Gemara.
Sure it is. Teaches us not to trust people. It's like people have a secret, right? And they tell it to their close friend, yeah? But they don't realize that that person has another close friend he's going to tell it to. And that person has a close friend he's going to tell it to. So you tell something, as Naim Lukaisa, like the expression is, the ears have walls, the walls have ears. The walls have ears. Basically, you know, you have to be careful.
This happens a lot,
of course.
Somebody went like, I found this property, it looks really good, what do you think about it? And then,
the guy takes it. Yeah, it happens all over the place.
Didn't we learn if you trust the people, they become trustworthy?
Well, not always, obviously.
Is that from the pasuk that human beings from the beginning, they are, you know, in the Chumash, it says that from the childhood, they are not good?
He said, what does the pasuk say over there in Tehillim? Gam ish shleim asher batachti ba'echolachmi. He ends up eating my bread. He raises his heel against me.
But that's, I mean, the origin is from Na'arat, we are no good?
Yeah,
is that the source of it? Because intrinsically,
is a person born good and does bad, or he's bad and does good?
Depends if you're Chabad or not.
No, it's a Rambam.
Uh-huh.
Person is good.
Rambam was Chabad, by the way.
Okay,
so.
True. Okay, now.
Rambam says, Yitzra Ra Ansei. The Yitzra forces a person to do bad.
To start
no,
with.
But I can.
So human beings from the beginning, they are not good.
The Yetzirah is not good. The person himself is good. Okay, weiter. There was this guy kept walking the street. He said like this: Ki rechim tahava aziza. When the love between my wife and me were strong, apusia de sapirse shviven. We could have lain together on the width of a sword. This is a basic, this is a famous Gemara, when there's love, there's room in the bed for 60 people. Okay. So he says that this guy used to say, when my wife and I love myself, there's enough room for both of us and the width of a sword. Hashta dele aziza rachminta, now that the love is not strong, puria bashit and gamidele sagalan, a bed the width of 60 amis, which is 120 feet, is not big enough for us. And now he's saying like this, when we love each other, we can even live on the width of a sword. When we don't like each other, the bed of 60 amos is not enough.
These are all the same person?
I don't know. It's pashtus, yes, but lavdak. Huh? I'm saying it doesn't say. Amar Ravuna says kroiksiv. It's really a pasuk, because mikoriksiv initially in Chumash it says. Hashem said, I'll meet you there in the Kedesh HaKadoshim. And He said, I'll speak to you from the Kapedus. Okay? Hashem said, I'll speak to you from the Kapedus. With Tanya we learned, Aron Tisha, the Aron was 9 Tvachim high, the Kapedus Tefach, and the Kapedus, the covering, was a Tefach high. Arekana Soda, right, is 10. Uksiv, and yet it says, Abaye says, Shebona Melech Shleim El Hashem. The house that Shleim HaMelech built, Shishim Amma Orke, 60 Amas wide, the Esim Roch Bein 20 Amas, 60 Amas the length, 20 Amas the width, Ushleishim Amas Kamasi, and 30 Amas the height. Yeah? Well, look, save Ksiv, and then what does it say afterwards? Kayim Ad Hashem, Hashem said, Hashemayim Kisi, the earth, the heaven is my chair. Va'oritz Adem Ragloi. And the earth is my footstool. What type of house can you build for me? In other words, like this. We find two contradictory psukim, seemingly. One pasuk says that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu from the Kapedus, which is only 10 tefachim wide. I'm high. Okay? That means 10 tefachim Hashem was able to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash 60 yamas long and 20 yamas wide and 30 yamas high. And Hashem says, what type of house are you building for me? In other words, like, it's not big enough for me. So you see that in time of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem loved Moshe Rabbeinu. He was able to deal with him from a narrow place. And then the Jews weren't so good, so it took much longer. And much wider was also not good. Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. I think we're finished with the guy walking around saying things.
7, 8, 3.
Okay, now it says, before it said, Reb Shulman Karcha holds that if a disciple is sitting in front of his Rav and he sees a merit for somebody, whatever it is, he has an obligation to tell him. And he says, Leisegurim Neish. You shouldn't be afraid of anybody. Okay? So he learned, Leisegurim means don't withhold. Normally, Seguru simply means don't be afraid. No, Togurim normally means when the pasuk says Leisegurim Neish Ki Amishpat LaLakimhu, the simple meaning of a pasuk is a judge should not be afraid of tough litigants. Okay, remember before we learned in the Gemara, before you take the case and you see the guy's tough, you should say I don't want the case. But once you took the case and you have a ruling, so then you're not allowed to be afraid of anybody. You have to make a ruling. That's what we learned before. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha used this pasuk to say, Leisegurim, don't withhold, the student shouldn't withhold knowledge in the presence of his Rebbe. So the Gemara says, my mashma, from where do we learn? Leisegurim lishin dekenushihu, it's expression of withholding. Normally, seguru is not to be afraid. Where do we see it means also withholding? Amir Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman, so we have psukim. One pasuk says, Amir krav yayin leishitzishta, you shouldn't drink wine, v'lei segard, and you should not withhold it, gather it in. Another pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Tochem mekayitz, she prepared lachma, she prepares food in the summer. Tochem mekayitz lachma ogra, that she gathers the food in the summer. And then, bakotzim achila, and she eats the food in the harvest. Or gather a good, well, either way. No, I'm sorry. Again. Tochem bakayitz lachma, she prepares her food in the summer. Egra bakotzim achila, she gathers her food in the harvest time. Which means, you see again, the word egra, seguru, means gathering. Ravacha baribreid ravika amar, egra bakayitz, Bain Maskel. A wife's son gathers in the summer. Okay? That's what the pasuk says. So you see from all these psukim that the word seguru can mean gathering. And therefore the Bishop Ben Karcha said, Lei seguru mepnei ish means do not withhold anything from the person that if you know the knowledge. Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. Amar Rav Shmuel ben Achmeinu, Amar Rav Yenison. Kol dayin shadon dinam islamitei. Any dayan that judges a judgment which is absolutely true, okay? What? What is, by the way, the Gemara is going to explain this in different places. The Gemara says, he brings it down to the bottom. What is don, din emes la'amite mean? What is it, din emes la'amite? Emes la'amite means a truth to judge truth. I mean, it's a double expression. So the Gemara learns out from this pasuk, by the way, an interesting halacha. What happens if the judge knows the witnesses are lying? He knows. So normally the judge could say, listen, the witnesses, he has no open proof yet that the witnesses are, but he has a gut feeling that the witnesses are lying. So don din emes lamite means, if the judge has that feeling, the judge needs to make the witnesses so crazy until he proves them to be liars. That's called din emes lamite, a truthful judgment. Like he says, the double expression can be explained as follows. If witnesses are suspected of lying, a judge may not rely upon the testimony without subjecting them to true, thorough cross-examination. And then he can make the ruling.
The Likudans don't have, the Torah and Nitin.
Who?
The Torah.
No.
And Nitin, they don't have any say on this thing, only the witnesses.
What do you mean? Of course they have a say, but then you have to listen to what the witnesses say.
Also, I mean, he can do the same.
If I say you owe me $1,000, mm-hmm. and you say no, okay, and then you have I have witnesses that you owe me $1,000, okay, mm-hmm. so Alpidin, what's the halacha?
Yeah, it's going according to the witnesses.
The witnesses. What happens if the judge has a gut feeling that they're lying?
How about if he has a gut feeling that the guy that is claiming is lying?
And Hanami. So
it's
whichever
the same thing. It goes on all of them.
Yeah, yeah. But especially, even the witnesses. The witnesses, L'cheira, are what the Torah says, you have to believe. Right? So you can add dynamis. The witnesses say you owe me $1,000. So you judge the rest of the witnesses. Emes lamite means that you get to the real bottom of it. And you find out if they're lying or not.
And if you can't... back and forth.
Then he has to listen to the witnesses. That's the halacha.
It's not like a goyish court at all.
Huh?
Not like a goyish court at all.
What do you mean?
I mean, a goyish court, they know that, that the guy is chayev and the witnesses, and they say, no, still we have to go through it. Not like O.J. Simpson's case.
Huh?
Like O.J. Simpson's case, even though they know it, yet.
No, because he couldn't prove it.
Had no choice.
They couldn't prove it.
But they had a gut feeling.
No, you can't. By the way, they can't do capital punishment on a gut feeling.
No, this is only Jinnah Mamano.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. On a gut feeling, you can't rule.
The judge is having a gut feeling.
He has to make the witnesses crazy and then go through a cross examination to make sure they're wrong.
Oh, I see.
But the. Your gut feeling, you can't necessarily do that.
I mean, you have to drive him to a point that actually the witnesses will testify opposite.
They make him crazy enough that you can prove to them that they're lying. Okay, so he says like this, Kol dan shel din dinamis tamite, mash the Shechina b'Yisrael, causes the Shechina to rest amongst the Jewish people. Shenama, because the Pasuk says, Elokim nitza badas kel, Hashem stands in the divine assembly. Bekerev Elokim Yishpet. In the midst of judges, he will judge. Meaning.
Morning.
What does that mean? That it's a real judgment. V'chol dayin she'ena don dinam islamitei. And a judge who doesn't judge this honest judgment. Geirem shechina letestalik mi Yisrael. Causes the shechina to leave the Jews. Shenama, because the Pasuk says, Mished aniyim, from the oppression of the poor, Me'enkes of yeinim, because of the cry of the needy, Ata okum yem Hashem, Hashem says, now I'm going to leave. Hashem says, I'm going to get up and leave. That means, if you judge really Am Islamita, you cause Hashem to rest in the Jewish people. If you play games, then Hashem leaves.
Why do you make him rest? Because he comes as a judge?
Yes.
And he comes to judge, and it's like...
Because the judgment is based on Torah. If the judgments are based on Torah, then Hashem is there.
So it's like he judged.
Right. Therefore, Well, the judges are only the kalim for the Shechina's decision. Right. Then it's Amar Reb Shmuel Nachman Amar Reb Yehonasan. Kol Dayan Shenaitel Mizavanesan Zek Shalei Kedin. Any judge who extracts money from one and gives it to the next against Halacha, Hakadosh Baruch Hu made Neitel Menu Nafshe. Hashem's going to take his soul from him. Shenema it says Al Tigzel Dol. Don't rob the poor. Kidalu because he's poor. Ve'alkel tadadik ani b'shat. And though the press afflicted in the gate, ki Hashem yadav rivam, Hashem is going to fight the judgment. Ve'kavis kaveim nefesh. And rob the life of those who rob them. So the pasuk says clearly, if you rob from the innocent people and give it to the guilty people, Hashem will take your soul. Doesn't mean you chayiv misa, but it means, you know, spiritually it's like you're going to have a cheshmon Hashem. Robin Hood was a gun.
No, Robin Hood
was the
best.
Huh?
No, Robin Hood took it from bad people, gave it to good people.
Oh, not bad.
He took it from the rich,
gave it to the poor. That's exactly
what it's saying here. How do you know the poor are bad?
1 minute. He's not talking about that at all. He says, you're not allowed to do that.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So this is exactly what Robin Hood did, I'm just saying. He took from poor, rich.
But he wasn't a judge. Here we're talking about a judge in a Beis Din that ruled wrongly. He didn't do it as a judge. What?
Robin Hood.
Huh?
Hero.
He was a hoodlum. That's what we call a hood.
Yeah, right. Okay. I'm Reb Shmuel ben Achmeini. Okay, we're just on a few more lines. I'm Reb Shmuel ben Achmeini, I'm Reb Yenis. La'elam yira dayin atzmi ki l'cherev menachos le'ben yachaseisov, as if a sword is between his thighs, v'gehenim psucha l'mtachtov, and Gehenim is open in front of him. In other words, when a judge is about to sit on a case, he has to sit with such awe and fear, as if there's a sword about to kill him and he's going to go straight down to Gehenim. Okay? Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, where do we see this? The Pasuk says, Hine mitasa shalishleime, the bed of Shleima Melech, Shishim gibarim savivla, to 60 strong people around him, Migibari Yisrael from the stronger of the Jews, Kulam al-Khuzicharev, all of them holding swords. Malom de Muhammad, experts in battle, each chave yerecha, each man on his, each sword on his thigh, mipacha balelis from the fear of heaven, from the fear of night, mipachta shal gehenim, it means from the fear of gehenim, shedema lalaila, which is similar to night. So he says that the Sanhedrin would be fearing of sword as if they're like open to gehenim, like the fear of night.
So why do we read this at the Shema Alamita?
Because it said, speak about at night. Before you go to sleep at night, you have to have a little fear of Hashem. A little fear of Hashem goes a long way. Okay. Oh, yeah.